This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Peyton and Aiden back in the studio. We are in Anna at the Firehouse Tour, and a special guest this morning, the one, the only, the question asker, Zach Walchuk.
Yep. What's going on, boys? How we doing?
The question asker.
Let's do it. Are we breaking up the haka or what?
Let's do it.
Woo!
He is learning the haka.
Yeah.
Just for this. I hope he breaks it out.
That would be incredible. Great. Put on the a fire outfit. On the fire suit and just go full haka.
Yeah. And I don't know that you are going to be able to do the haka without all the gear on. But I mean, if you want to put bunker gear on and make it more awkward.
Ooh, cool. Baby.
You know, I leave the awkwardness.
Oh, baby.
Let's do it.
There we go. Bobby, where are we this morning?
We are in Anna. We are at 305 South Powell Parkway for the Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. We already got a few listeners out here. John from Anna, Tolo Bryan from Garland, Adam from Anna, Travis from Prosper, and Shane from Campbell. We got the Firehouse.
Now, why does Bryan get the Tolo? I assume they're all
literally,
Tolos.
They're just here at
5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning.
However they identified is how I then wrote it down.
Okay.
So that's what I'm doing here. I spit it out.
You just allow people to identify however they want to.
they're all solos here. But we are in Anna, so I did some research, as you know. I always like to do some research when we wherever we stop, just the history of the place. So, Chop, Anna was founded in the 1860s. It had 20 residents when its land was platted in 1883. It was officially incorporated in 1913.
Was one of the 20 residents named Anna?
Well, okay, so we're actually going to get to that question. It had a population of fewer than 1,000 people when you first moved to DFW. It grew to 8,200 by 2010, and the last census in 2020, it had doubled in 10 years to almost 17,000. The city is named after Anna Quinlan, who was the daughter of a railroad official by the name of George Quinlan. And yes, that's the same Quinlan that the city's named after, Zach. R.I.P. Kenny.
We love you, Kenny.
Here's the thing.
Does George get a city?
So here's the thing. There was George Quinlan.
Well,
the city of Quinlan.
But they didn't name it after his first name.
No, it's just named after his first name. There may be a George, Texas. I don't know.
Georgetown.
But there was a longstanding myth, I guess, that Anna and Melissa, which is their neighboring city here, were the names of the daughters of William Van Alstyne, who was also a railroad official and one of the presumed namesakes of the city of Van Alstyne. That's a myth. Van Alstyne didn't have any kids named Melissa or Anna, but it was still the common belief for a lot of people around here for years. Shout out to the Coyotes of Anna High School. Cornerback Zay Gentry. I should say the 2023 4A champion, Anna Coyotes. Their cornerback, Zay Gentry, three-star recruit. He signed with SMU back in December. They've got a quarterback, Zyondre Williams, who is a top 100 recruit in the state of Texas for next year's class. And if you ever find yourself in Anna Chop and in the need of something to eat, you got to go to Crow's Country Cafe, which is right around the corner.
Oh, Crow's Country.
Salsa Tex-Mex. Those are kind of popular with folks around town. So, that's your quick overview of the city of Anna.
I feel like I've been here a million times because we're right by Melissa, and that's where we play baseball. Like, it seems every weekend. Every weekend.
Man, dude, that is a haul for you.
From the Speedway?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a ways. The 8 a.m. games are the ones that are tough because you got to leave the house at like 5:45.
Yeah.
That's an early wake-up call. Yeah, it's an early wake-up call, but it's okay. Everything's new. Everything's new out here. I was wondering how are the fields?
Everything's
Great. They're great fields. But this whole area is so new. I really like that.
No, I mean, like I said, when I first moved here, because I was born in Austin, went to Nashville, came back to Dallas around 96. When I first moved here, Anna, Melissa, like this area was under 1,000 people, I think, still. So yeah. I mean, it was not, and now it's, I mean, it's blowing up, and I mean, it's becoming the fact that we just talked about. They were, I called them the 4A champs. Anna just jumped up in football to 5A Division II. So I mean, they're a legit big time school. In fact, John from Anna, who we were talking to earlier, he said that when he's grown up here his whole life, he said when he went to the high school, he was like a small. They were a small 2A school.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, look, the high, I got here. I moved here in '97, and 121 was nothing after Great My Mills. It was like stoplights. Mm-hmm. It was a stoplight like every
crazy.
40 feet.
That is crazy.
It took forever.
Like one of those stoplights on a string.
Yeah, it took forever. It took forever to get to like Frisco or anything. And so like you just never made it past there. And then the city's blown up and the whole town, like the whole metroplex is just taking a torched to everything up north and out west.
Wild. I mean, driving in here now, it's like you got the Buc-ee's.
Yeah.
It's a booming, a beautiful HEB. Shout out to Whataburger, who's out here right now. You can come out, get some free breakfast. Of course, Fraser Roofs and Gutters, Firehouse Movers, everybody that's a proud sponsor here of the Firehouse Tour. This is my first one, boys. And I'm really, really impressed already at the Tolo turnout that we've got at 6 a.m.
I mean, they're always 6 a.m. club super early, dude.
Coming out ready to party. Yeah, you were telling me, you're like, hey, don't be surprised if there's a gathering, like waiting. Yeah. For this thing to open up.
We got the hats, by the way. These are the Firehouse Tour hats. So if you want to come out and get one, these will go quickly. But, yeah, we got several of those.
We usually have some leftover G-Bag stuff because you guys can't give all your stuff away during your show.
Hey, what can I say? We might not be the best at promoting during the show.
I think we gave away all their stuff last time. So, yeah.
Thank you for that. Yeah. I'm glad somebody's doing it for us.
Look,
we do the Lord's work over here.
We do charity here at Sean and RJ.
Oh, man. All right. Well, hopefully I can give you guys a ratings bump today.
Let's go ahead.
Hey, the Rangers offense, Pepe. We were struggling coming into this. Jacob DeGrom had received 9 total runs of support in 5 starts. Last night, we were waiting for the bats to come alive, and boy, did they, in a very, very big way.
Left tip, the pitch. Garcia swings and hammers one up the alley left center field. Bleday gives chase. He races after, dives, can't get it. One hopping off the wall. Heim scores. Semien rounds third. He comes home. Young being waved home. The relay throw is offline. Young slides in safely. El Bombi clears the deck. And the Rangers take a commanding 8-0 lead on a bases-clearing double from Adolis Garcia.
El Bombi was fantastic. The Rangers, 8 runs in the 6th inning, 15-2. They spank around the A's of wherever the hell they're from right now, Sacramento, Las Vegas. I don't even know what to call them. But that 6th inning was what we've been waiting for from this Rangers lineup. Josh Young was brilliant last night. Marcus Semien got things started off with an RBI single. You had that Adolis double. Wyatt Langford with an RBI double. They put up 15 runs. They didn't score a single home run in this one.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you had 3 bases clearing doubles in the last 2-3 innings there.
Because you had one at the end.
I mean, it's something. They actually had, I think, the first 10 hits of the game they had, they were all singles.
They're all singles.
Like, they weren't getting extra base hits, then they explode there in the 6th and 8th inning. But, yeah, it's nice to see the offense kind of blow up, especially because we've been so critical lately of the Rangers' offense.
Can't get them over. Get them
rightly
in.
So. I mean, they haven't been able to
get
nothing.
Yeah, not. But I mean, like we were about to talk about this morning the like player only meetings that they've had to have recently and some of the different things. And last night, it finally comes together and they're able to consistently hit the ball. And Jacob DeGrom was
well,
great.
See that's the thing. Like the offense is going to get all the publicity today because they haven't done anything, and that's going to overshadow what Jake did, and he was just phenomenal.
Yeah, he was.
Like, forget the 8-run, sixth or whatever, you knew before that, the fact that they had already gotten 3 on the board, Sacramento or whatever they're called, they weren't touching, 3 runs in this game.
No, I mean, first pitch of the game, 1 out, 6 shutout innings, 65 pitches is all it took for Jacob DeGrom. He was absolutely vintage. You know, Marcus Semien was talking after the game. Like, that's why you bring him in. I mean, that's the Cy Young winner right there, Jacob DeGrom. He was absolutely brilliant.
And had this been a 2-0 game still,
yep.
They let him go. They keep him in there. I know, his pitch count was so low, but what's the point? You know, once they got the 8 runs, there was no point in bringing him back out there beyond that next inning.
And I had to look, but he was – I thought last night his velocity on his fastball was way up. I felt like it was like 2 miles per hour up from where he's been most of the year. And so I know that we had talked about earlier some of the velocity stuff being down was something intentional from him, that he was basically reworking his mechanics and trying not to stress his arm too much. But I don't know if that last night was just, hey, digging deep here. But I mean, he was touching 99 a few different times, and he's typically sat around 96, 97 this year.
Yeah, he averaged 97.4 miles per hour on the 34 seam fastballs that he threw. That was the highest single game average on the pitch in his six starts this year. So that's a great sign moving forward. And then Dane Dunning comes in for three innings, so you're able to preserve the bullpen, exactly what they were bringing him in for. I mean, you look at the pitch chart that DeGrom was able to throw. I mean, the majority of it was the four-seam fastball, mixed in a little bit of the slider, a couple of pitches on the curveball, seven overall Ks for DeGrom. That's exactly what the doctor ordered last night for the Texas Rangers. And I was happy to see on Whataburger night, at the Globe, Jake Berger finally got it going. We just needed a burger bomb, and then everything would have been right in the world.
Look, I mean, when we talk about Dunning coming in and pitching.
Can you imagine facing DeGrom with his 99 and then having Dunning come out there with his cute little two-seamers?
It's a literal change-up from your bullpen.
Much, man.
No, I was just looking at this. Dunning ended up throwing about as many pitches as DeGrom did in his three innings as DeGrom had in six. In fact, Dane Dunning gave up one more. Not on the fly ball. He gave up on the ground ball. But if you look at the number of pitches that he had, he gave up the same number of hits and basically had the same number of pitches in half the time.
Well, he doesn't. I mean, look, he's much more of a contact pitcher than Jake is.
I will say, if they were not concerned about trying to measure DeGrom and try not to stress out his arm or anything, like, that could have very easily been nine innings from him last night.
Easy. I mean, he was dominant and his pitch count was low. He easily could have gotten throughout the full game, but you didn't need to. There was no point to it.
No, go ahead and preserve that thing as long as you can, right? We're playing for October here with Jacob DeGrom.
Right, baby.
That's the move. 15-2, Rangers get the victory. I do think having Cody Cole in attendance, who's out here right now, maybe that was a good luck charm for the Texas Rangers. Wifey was out there, right, Bobby?
Yeah, she was out there with with Rachel Ring, who is a big supporter of the Sandlot charity.
Does she know what the warning track is now?
I mean, she's figured it out. I think at this point, we've given her education. I don't know how much of it has stuck, but she was told what they were over time. I'll tell you what, though, the Rangers lately have not looked like they known what the foul pole is or the warning track or anything else. Kennedy Landry actually had a good article up yesterday morning for TexasRangers.com where she was talking about the hitters. Like, they all had to have players' meetings, go behind closed doors, figure things out. This is what she wrote. She said, there were no Rangers hitters in the home clubhouse at Globe Life Field before Texas opened its home stand against the A's on Monday night. It's not a huge shock for the media's allotted 50 minutes. Players are often in and out. Hitters or pitchers' meetings or getting treatment or anything in between. But to start their seven-game home stand, the Rangers hitters had a lengthy meeting that lasted throughout the entire media clubhouse time. A month into the season, Texas found it necessary to flip the script on its offensive identity. That 2-1 loss was a big, another domino pushing things over for him. But if you look at, I know we were talking about this yesterday, Chop, and then I went and looked it up since we've been on the air. Last year we were talking about how bad the offense was early. Just, this is such a rough offense.
And middle, and late.
Yeah, but
it just never really got going.
Right, but early on in the season everybody was like, okay, was this a peak year last year,
right,
or is there something wrong? And if you look at it, compared to last year, they had scored almost 30 runs fewer through the same amount of games this year than they did last year.
Wow.
And last year they had 12 games through their first 29 where they had scored three or fewer. This year they had 18 games where they've scored three or fewer.
Okay, what is
what is the meeting talking about, though?
Yeah,
hey, guys, we really got to you really got to barrel these things up. Oh, good, because I've been trying to get fisted for the last 4 weeks.
Whoa, jeez.
So, that's what
Mark, that paint?
That's exactly. I've been trying to get jam shots left and right. I really need to barrel these things up. Right.
I would imagine what it is a decent part of it may just be about plate approach or other things like that. I mean, they're putting themselves – they have not put themselves in great position.
The chase rate was incredibly high.
Yeah, that's been a big issue for them.
Yeah.
They have the highest swing percentage, second highest in the league.
Yeah,
all they do is just swing it. Free swingers, man.
How many hitters meetings, like team player meetings, can you have over the course of a season? Like, what is acceptable?
I don't know. I mean, during a baseball season, I feel like that's something you can only bring out two, three times probably.
So, Nelly – in basketball, Don Nelson.
Country Grammar, yeah.
He had, right? He said he had six bullets. He had six bullets to use.
Okay.
So he can have six blow-ups at the team throughout the course of a season. I don't know what that, you know, in baseball, since they're playing, you know, double the amount of games, that means you have 12?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. That's too much. It's like two a month. it seems like a lot.
Maybe like nine?
Yeah, it's probably the same. Yeah. Like, you know,
you don't want to do too much, or else it's like, what are we doing here? It's just going to lose its effectiveness.
I think Wash was the one that was the best at that overall. Like, he knew exactly when to push those buttons. I mean, I'm sure Bochy's like really good at it too, considering he's like a Hall of Famer. But yeah, I don't think you have a ton. I don't think you have a ton, especially early. You don't want to get into that because it's literally so early.
Yeah, it's, I mean, hey, it was great to see 15 runs. We'll take that any day of the week. All right, stop number two on the 2025 Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. We are here in Anna, 305 South Hell Parkway, giving away Whataburger breakfast. We got the Firehouse Tour hats as well. Come on out. Say hello to us. Tolo Fellowship. It's going to be a blast if you're in Anna, Blue Ridge, Prosper, Melissa, McKinney, Princeton, Salina. Heck, I came from Plano. Not a far drive at all. This is going to be an absolute blast. All day long, we'll be here until 10 a.m. But up next, let's talk some NFL draft, shall we? As Bobby caresses the side of my face, let's do NFL draft grades. How did Dane Brugler see the Cowboys draft as he ranked them amongst the other teams in the National Football League? That's next as Sean and RJ rolls on live here from Anna.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh, new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
A tradition unlike any other, it is draft grades. Right after the draft is concluded, everyone's got to come out and be like, all right, what do we think? What do we think of these classes? We haven't seen these players at all with their new teams, but we need to go ahead on paper. How did everybody do? How did the Dallas Cowboys class stack up? It is Sean and RJ live here in Anna. Stop number two on the Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. Zach Wolchuk in for Sharif as he is continuing his paternity leave. I hope he's having a fantastic time. Come on out, party with us, 305 South Powell Parkway. We're giving away Whataburger breakfast. We got Firehouse Tour hats. We've already got an incredible amount of Tolos that are hanging out here. So we're going to be with you until 10 a.m. But Bobby, how have the Cowboys looked in terms of some draft grades, my friend?
Well, before we get to the draft grades, I got to go get to some shout-outs because you're right. There are a ton of people here I got a shout-out. I wrote down as many as I could. We got Tolo Steve from Allen is hanging out here. Yes, I did specify Tolo for his name, Chop, just Tolo in case Steve. You're wondering. Trey from Blue Ridge came out without his daughter Gracie, by the way, who's a big-time listener. Eric in Plano, Rick in Anna, Venus from Melissa, Will from Anna, Cody from Plano, Harrison and his son Heath from Anna just showed up. And then I think our youngest Tolo right here, Ezekiel from Melissa, is hanging out here before I guess he goes off to school. So a lot of Tolos out here hanging out this morning, and we appreciate you guys. And those hats are starting to go fast. The giveaways, everything else. Okay, let's go to Yahoo Sports. And Nate Tice and Charles McDonald. I think Nate Tice is great. He's one of my absolute favorites. So this actually mattered to me to take a look and see, all right, where did these teams come down in these grades for Yahoo, for Nate Tice, and for Charles McDonald? And let's just take a look at the NFC East first. So he graded all the draft classes here. The Washington Commanders get a B+. He says, Washington didn't have much draft capital, but it found two potential long-term starters with its first two picks in offensive tackle Josh Connerly and cornerback Trey Amos. Mm-hmm. Both have high upside at positions of need, and they created some necessary depth that will help them sustain their success from a season ago. So, I mean, they just had their five picks, their five mm-hmm. picks there. They get a B-plus, though, for the quality they get. This is a strong draft for the NFC East when you listen to what Nate Tyson, Charles McDonald had to say, because he goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. Grade there, B. They say the Eagles had an interesting draft. They got Jahad Campbell, who's potentially surprised going as late as he did. Mm-hmm. He's got the talent to be an instant impact player for the Eagles front seven. They talk about Andrew Mukuba, the safety from Texas.
God, that was annoying.
A B grade there. The Giants, which I think you would give the Giants an A, wouldn't you, Chop? Because they took the quarterback gamble and they got the best overall player potentially in Abdul Carter.
Well, from a process standpoint,
which is really all I feel like you can grade
the way they went about it.
Yeah,
was your process?
Yeah,
sound?
The way they went about it. They took is it they didn't take the highest paid, the number one non quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's Travis Hunter. He went ahead of them. Mm-hmm. That's always dangerous to take like a highly paid non quarterback because it's still a 50-50.
Right.
But then they went and got their quarterback.
Yeah.
And whether or not he's going to be good doesn't really matter at this point.
Did you see the back and forth he had with Gruden during the quarterback camp?
Dart? No.
Yes.
I did not.
Oh, gosh. Gruden asked
His me. Mom was like the hit of the draft.
Bro, Gavin Dawson, he's so sick of the Dart family. He's like, all they're doing is showing the darts. I'm sick of looking at them. And he honestly was not a fan of Jackson Dart's mom.
Really?
She started trending. Wilson was very, very involved here. The Milf Hunter himself.
Of course.
Which, by the way, I heard G-Bag talk about this the other day. Do you know what number Zach Wilson's wearing in Miami as a quarterback?
31.
Zero.
That's weird.
Isn't that weird?
A quarterback with zero. You know that guy stinks.
I mean, he's a zero.
Jackson Dart was asked by John Gruden, show me your snap count. And he goes, okay, you ready? And he stands up and he goes. And then Gruden goes, no, give me your snap count. And he goes.
He claps.
And he goes, you didn't do a cadence at all?
Oh, no.
A snap count at all? And he goes, no. And he goes,
Kiffin, man.
What was your dummy call? And he goes. And Gruden goes, dear God.
So maybe Gio was right from Boomer and Gio when he had his crash out.
Made out a big good. But the Giants get the same grade ultimately from Yahoo as the Philadelphia Eagles did with a B. They say that the Jackson Dart pick was a bit of a reach, but the Giants did grab some damn good players throughout this draft. Abdul Carter will be a threat for Defensive Rookie of the Year next to Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns. Darius Alexander, the defensive tackle, is a quality depth addition. Cam Scataboot I don't even want to read what they have to say about Cam Scataboot.
We did have one of our totals came out.
Travis from Prosper came out with the ASU hat.
Shout out to Travis.
Well, yeah, forks up.
Ultimate troll job.
All right, so the Dallas Cowboys. Where did the Dallas Cowboys come down with their grade? Chop, Wilchuk, they were one of the very few teams, according to Nate Tice, Charles McDonald, that got an A in the NFL draft. Here's what they wrote up. They said the Cowboys were able to fill some needs with players who might be able to make serious impacts as rookies. Guard Tyler Booker, pass rusher Donovan Ezeraku, and cornerback Savone Revell. I got to get used to saying Savone now.
Yeah.
Savone Revell have a chance to be instant impact starters with long-term upside for the Cowboys. Dallas added three players who many draft analysts had as first-round prospects without trading assets to acquire them. Good process. Hopefully good results for what Dallas was able to pull off. They said the most interesting pick was Tyler Booker, saying Dallas continued its love for drafting offensive linemen in the first round with the bruising guard from Alabama. Some viewed this as a reach, but Booker is a high-floor player who can form a hellacious interior group with guard Tyler Smith and center Cooper Beebe. I will say, the talk from them saying some viewed Booker as a reach, that's literally just media analysis. Because I had reached out to different people at different teams and just kind of said, hey, where did you guys anticipate Booker was going to go? And universally, every team I talked to said they thought he was going to go top 20.
Yeah, I think 100% the NFL viewed Tyler Booker as one of the best players in this entire draft, arguably one of the best linemen, period, in the entire draft.
There's too many Tylers, though.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
that's the Great Wall of Tyler.
No, not the Great Wall of Tyler. We're going with Tyler the Space Creators.
Ooh,
that's what they're going
to
do.
But Guyton's really got to be able to create the space. Really,
Tyler the Creator. The rapper?
Yeah, I get that, but
they create space. Come on, Chop.
Did you hear Coach Connor Riley was telling us the nicknames? We're going like T-Sizz.
Yeah, so Tyler Smith I know is T-Sizzle.
T-Book.
Yeah, Book. I hear he's Book typically. And then Tyler Guyton, I don't know, is just the sound of a whistle or something, probably.
Yeah.
All right, so Dane Brugler, that's what Yahoo had to say.
Get that cleaned up, Bobby.
Dane Brugler is the draft god to many out there. If they don't follow Brian Broaddus as their leader, it's typically Dane Brugler. But Dane Brugler had some grades and some analysis for the draft, too. Yes, Zach?
Mm-hmm.
Yours. That's your story.
Jesus, Zach. I'm sorry.
My gosh. Hey,
you guys know
Did I not set that up long enough that I was clearly going
He's already missed.
To Zach for that?
You know what? It's early for me.
He pulled a Peyton Russell. And it's not even Thursday. Sorry, Peyton. Just got your trays.
Just pull back your damn ears and listen.
We are literally going
to clean them out.
We're going back onto air. And I go, I'll start with Yahoo.
You did.
We're going to Dane. And then that's yours.
Yep.
Yeah. And he said, yep, no, got it.
Hey, but Dane had some grades, didn't he?
Yep.
Yes, he did.
He yep. sure
yeah,
did.
Yeah, he did.
Yep, he did.
You got that right, Bob?
I should have sat there and said that. Just sat there.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was replying to the fan text, and I love you.
This is why you're in the
afternoon. Yeah,
I called that one.
This is way too early for me. Okay, Dane actually did not have the Cowboys ranked incredibly high in his team rankings.
Which is odd, because he got
a lot of players that Dane graded really highly. Like, if you looked at Dane Brugler's overall top 100.
Four of the guys they picked, he had graded higher than where Dallas selected
them.
So I don't understand it. What was the write-up on it?
So he had the Cowboys as the 12th best draft in the entire NFL. He did have them right behind the Eagles at 11. Which, yeah. I mean, hey, 12, not bad. You're
12's
in the upper
fine.
Half
12's
of the league.
Fine, but because this is so arbitrary. Nobody really knows.
No, you don't know. We
Nobody
need to
knows.
See these guys on the field. I know Brian loves to talk about how he had somebody in the league after his Philadelphia draft say, you just had the worst draft in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
He's like, don't you want to like let this play out for a couple of years? And the guy's like, no, I know. It was the worst draft. Well, they end up getting four Pro Bowlers
out of
the six picks.
Nobody knows.
You have no clue. Favorite pick, though, for Dane Brugler, Donovan Ezeraku, the edge out of Boston College. He writes, after McMillan went top 10, I loved the fit for Tyler Booker at 12, but Dallas got even better value with its two picks on day two. A bendy athlete, long arms, Ezeraku was his 22nd ranked player because of his ability to reach the quarterback. He was number one in the FBS with 1.38 sacks per game in 2024. That's just under basically 1.5 sacks, Bobby, if you do the math there.
Yeah, I got it. What was the... Where did you have... So I know when we were talking about during the draft show, Vach Lombardi was really high on Tyler Booker. That was his 6th overall player. I liked Booker. I had him 18th. But I understand why he went where he did, because a lot of the players that I had above him were guys Dallas was never going to take, like Malachi Starks, the safety from Georgia.
Sure.
But where did you have Booker ranked for yourself?
I had Booker at 21.
Okay.
Booker's 21 for me.
Look, I have a 12.
Yeah.
That's where he went.
That was a perfect ranking for your job. We need to get you on the draft.
I mean, I had Ezeraku at 44.
Yeah, if you look at it, you know.
They nailed just, Rebel, you had it 76.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had.
You knew exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's where
exactly
I had
these guys were going to end up going.
He nailed it the whole time. Now, the way I look at this is that they talk about Dallas potentially got 3 impact players. Yeah. I legitimately think 5 of the players they drafted over the weekend are going to start games for them next year.
Yeah.
Not necessarily be the full-time starters, but the top 3... If Ravel's healthy, he will start at some point. So Ravel, Ezeraku, and Booker right there, those are 3 starters. And then on day 2, Jay Toia, Mr. Haka, the defensive tackle from UCLA, the 7th rounder.
There is JT.
There is a good shot that he's going to get a rotational start at some point.
It would not surprise me if he ends up...
Because they just don't have any clean one techniques.
No, and he... I think he could usurp Mozzie by the end of the year.
It's possible.
The guy who ends up being top on the depth chart.
It's possible. And then Jaden Blue will start a few games. He's going to be in a running back rotation there with Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders. But Jaden Blue's going to likely be the guy in there starting. And I would not be surprised if the last half of the season he's the guy who plays the most snaps at running back.
I wouldn't be surprised either. I mean, I love that pick. I thought they got tremendous value. I had him in the 4th. They end up getting him in the 5th. It's just the fumbles. And I think ultimately that's also what cost him playing in time at Texas. And I asked him about that when we got him on the phone. That was actually a good question, unlike my terrible question with JT. And he acknowledged the frustration there. I mean, he gets it when it comes to the fumbles. But JT was the day 3 pick who could surprise for Dane Brugler, a prospect who easily could have been drafted in the 4th round. I did think he would go in the 4th. He is a stout, wide-bodied run defender who can stack and shed the point with ease. With his ability to muck things up at the line, it won't be surprising when he earns a valuable role as a one-tech tackle in coordinator Matt Eberflus's system.
Man, I'll tell you, if you guys have him on during camp,
mm-hmm.
you have to ask him the same question.
With the exact same verbiage.
Yeah.
And just, hey, how about, in fact, I've got for 720 when Nick Harris comes up here, we're going to be joined by Nick Harris from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram live in person at 720. I actually found some of the other questions that Zach had planned for other players.
How did you find those?
You left them around the studio.
Oh, crap.
So he had them written down on cue cards. And I'm going to have him read his questions that he had planned for other players.
This could get ugly.
This is going to get
extreme. Get the Gather the Foreigners drop ready, Peyton.
No, Peyton. I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, baby.
You and I, simpatico there. That's our North Texas Mean Green education. All right, let's come on out. Stop number 2 on the 2025 Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. We are out in Anna, 305 South Powell Parkway. We're giving away Whataburger breakfast, Firehouse Tour hats. So if you are in the area, even if you're not, make the drive. We're going to be out here until 10 a.m. We love you. We love seeing all of our Turn It On, Leave It On listeners. Coming up next, let's do a little chopping it up, shall we, RJ?
No, not yet.
Nope. Come on, Zach.
Come on, man. Geez.
Just go for two. It's the payload, man. It's 640. Come on, man.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's not the payload.
Peyton, payload.
It's not the payload.
Save me. I'm drowning. Get me a life vest.
What happened last night in the NBA? There was a fight. A parent-player fight.
Oh, no.
In the NBA last night.
Who'd you
say? Next to the fan.
Here comes Halliburton. Hits the timeline with 7. Outside the arc with 5. Driving in the lane at the goal. He lays it in with 1 3/10 seconds to go. Milwaukee has no timeouts. They have to go the length. Ball is going to be played in by Antetokounmpo. He gets it to Trent. And this one is over. Unbelievable.
Pacers 119-118. They eliminate the Milwaukee Bucks with their come-from-behind victory. Tyrese Halliburton with the go-ahead layup with 1.3 seconds left in overtime as Milwaukee blew it. But the story of the night, Chop.
Yeah.
Giannis Antetokounmpo and Tyrese Halliburton's pops, John, getting into a heated exchange right after that one, with that layup for Tyrese Halliburton.
His dad gets on the floor, holds something in front of Giannis's face, like a shirt with
it looks like a G-bag flag basically with Tyrese Halliburton's face.
And he's like just taunting, and you see Giannis hands on his hips, like staring right at this guy. Like, what the hell are you doing, man? Mm-hmm. I could swat you in the 8th row. And then,
which Giannis said at the time after the game, he said at that moment he had no idea that was his dad.
Right.
He thought it was just a random fan. Random fan. Him.
And then they get, they kind of get into it. They get close together. They start talking. And then they had to be separated. And Halliburton's dad is just a loser. That's just a loser move. Like, that's just a loser move.
Very Team Morant of him.
Yeah. You are like, I don't know, man. You didn't put the work in. Your kid did.
I mean, he put in the dollars.
Who cares? That's your job. You're a parent.
I know. Yeah.
That's your job. Like, you shouldn't get credit for doing your job.
This is a bad look, and it's one that Tyrese Halliburton after the game. So there was a long. I was going to try and pull it. There's no way to pull it and make it condense it down. But Giannis talked for 4 straight minutes last night when he was asked about it. He was like, "Dude, I grew up in a family that is very humble. And any of you that have seen my dad in the players' room, like, you guys see him. He's very humble. He's not in anybody's face. He's like, I think you need to win gracefully. He's like, I'm an NBA champion. I won gracefully. And he's like, I think that we need more of that. And I thought Tyrese Halliburton was going to come back and be a little defiant with it, because especially after they had the little interaction after the game. But Tyrese Halliburton he's like, yeah, I'm going to have to talk to my dad. We can't have that. He should know better.
You can't do that.
No,
and that's
John,
embarrassing. Like your kid shouldn't have to go there and, like, I got to correct dad.
Yeah, it's very embarrassing. It's one thing, like, if dad's in the crowd, getting into it with other fans or posting on social media, whatever. Get in the face of another player. It's like, all right, come on, get off the floor.
Especially when that player's just towering down.
Just towering down.
And he could just flick him like a bug.
He's literally called a freak. Like, just what are we doing? Like, just stay away. And that was like at the end of a game that Milwaukee absolutely should have won.
Yeah.
They were up 13 zip. They were up, 7 with 40 seconds to go in overtime?
Mm-hmm.
Embarrassing. You can't lose that game.
And
Gary Trent Jr., who had a really good game, had 2 awful turnovers late. Did you see the one that went right through his legs? Right through his legs. Like, he was wide open. There was like 10 seconds to go. He's wide open. They're up 1.
It's terrible.
He's going to get the ball, get fouled, and take free throws. And the pass a little low, right? It was like right below the, you know, right at the knees. And it goes right through his legs. Like, what is happening?
It's embarrassing. At Papa Halliburton on the socials, that's John Halliburton's handle. He said, I sincerely apologize to Giannis, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Pacers organization for my actions following tonight's game. This was not a good reflection on our sport or my son, and I will not make that mistake again. As now Milwaukee, who knows? Does Giannis request a trade? You've got the unfortunate Dame Lillard injury. I don't know.
He's out all next year. Dame's not coming back next year. No, who knows if Giannis is? There were a lot. I saw a lot of Bucks fans last night speculating on social media. Like, that's it. That was Giannis' last game here.
Unbelievable.
I don't know.
Think about how excited he'd be. Like, I bet he'd really want to play with Luka. So, like, I mean, maybe Dallas could trade for him.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe Nico can get.
Oh wait, he's not here anymore. That's right. I see the fire. Nico. That's right. Luka's not here anymore.
Oh man. All right, what happened, speaking of Luka?
Yeah, let's talk about Luka Doncic, because, boy, he is just continuing to stack PR win on top of PR win. So there was a Kobe Bryant and Gigi Bryant mural in Los Angeles that had recently been vandalized. And the creator of the mural had put up a GoFundMe just saying, hey, we're going to try and raise the money that it would cost to restore the mural and cover over the graffiti. And I guess I saw a lot of comments from people in L.A., and they were saying this has happened a lot with that mural. And it's not necessarily it's just gang tags basically getting sprayed on it.
But I mean, you think you could spray it on something else.
So, but the idea is that, like, people are saying, honestly, great if you can cover it up again, but people are going to do it again. You need to, like, build a fence around it or something.
Dude, I'll tell you one thing about being, like, when I was in Italy, graffiti is everywhere. Everywhere.
Really?
I was stunned. It's everywhere.
Did they put the A on their graffiti, too?
Graffiti A.
West Side A. all right, so they were looking for $5,000 on this GoFundMe. Slow Motion, Louis Slow Motion, and who else but Luka Doncic jumped into the GoFundMe and funded the entire $5,000 request to have the mural recreated. And again, this is just... over and over again, he keeps stepping up and endearing himself to L.A. over and over again, more and just positive vibes. Now, the common joke yesterday was, well, with the defense he's been playing, he's going to have to build up some good PR. He's going to have to. My favorite comment I saw on the internet yesterday was like, that's why Nico traded him. He wanted the Kobe mural put back up.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And then he needed Luka to do that. But once again, Luka Doncic shows what a great individual the Dallas Mavericks chased out of town.
No, but not a great individual because he's not a hard worker.
Clearly.
Doesn't care about his craft.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't want to win. You know, Too much of that's
the hookah.
And, you know, in the off season, he just wants too much, free time. You know, so he doesn't want that.
Doesn't care. Lazy,
wants
fat.
Wants to play for Slovenia.
Yeah, man. I mean, a guy that wants to play for his country, not on my team.
Nope.
Get him the hell out of here.
Speaking of basketball and players moving, you have a rather interesting story. We always hear about the who was the Georgia quarterback a couple years ago that was 50 years
Stetson
old?
Stetson
Bennett.
Oh, yes.
We always hear about the Stetson Bennett types, and you've got another Stetson Bennett story for us, right? But it's in the world of women's hoops?
Yeah, so Janae Jackson. I don't know if that
Miss
name
Jackson, if you're nasty.
Sounds familiar to anybody, but she officially entered the NCAA transfer portal this week. And in the process, she may have made herself the biggest name in the portal in the history of the portal.
Why? Is she really good or something?
Well, she's 32 years old.
What?
She graduated from college in 2016, fellas.
32?
Yes, she is 32 years old. She played women's college basketball for Northern Illinois before transferring to Youngstown State, where she's 5'9". She started 26 games as a senior back in 2016.
She's a literal senior.
For Youngstown State, she averaged 9-6 with an assist and a steal per game while shooting 43% from the floor, and that's where her career ended, at least we thought. Now, because you've got the 5-year eligibility rule legally questionable, she's got the opportunity with 1 year left of eligibility to now try and play for one more year. So with that rule now no longer in existence currently, she has the opportunity at 32 years old to enter the portal and possibly play one more year.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember that when you started, the day you started your athletic career in college, you had 5 years to finish.
Yep.
You had 5 years to play four.
Yep.
And now it's apparently, let's see, you've got 14.
That's what it seems like.
14 years to play for.
I mean, honestly, yeah. This is. I mean, I was during the break. I was talking to Heath from Anna, the physical therapist here, and he was talking to me about the work that he does. And he said he typically works with geriatrics. This is like he would see this woman.
He would see her.
Yeah, this is who he would see. This woman that's now trying to play a fifth year of college basketball. Who
was She's almost as old as my wife?
Who was? You remember Joe Thomas, the Cowboys linebacker? His dad. Played his dad had a game that he had played. Joe Thomas Sr. became he was at 55 years old.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
The oldest player in November 2016 to play college football.
I remember that.
Yeah, no, and a lot of people didn't realize that was Joe Thomas, the Cowboys player's dad, but that was his dad that played.
And how did he get in?
I don't remember what the quirk was that he somehow got in there. But yeah, that's one of those. Just this is going to go down as one of those oddities. Just like who's the 3'11" baseball player?
Eddie Goodell.
Eddie Goodell. Yeah,
that was. He was actually 3'11".
Yeah, and he was told. He was.
You don't
3'11".
Know.
He walked on four pitches. It's a very famous story. That told him he couldn't swing?
It was Veach. Yeah.
Yeah, he told him
that. Is this like the Rudy of Major League Baseball?
No, this was basically just a publicity stunt. They put him in there. He's the shortest player to ever play baseball. He walked on four pitches, and he insisted he could hit.
Have you ever seen that photo?
He insisted he could hit. And
the
story that goes behind this is he was told, he's like, I can hit, I can swing. He's like, you take four pitches. And the manager told him, the manager said, you can't see them. I have snipers in the stands. If that bat leaves your shoulder, we're taking you out. And so he just stood there, walked on four pitches.
Bill Vec, that's who it was.
And they got subbed
out.
That
is incredible. Wow.
So this is this goes on along with those sort of things.
Yeah.
All right. Masters tickets. You sent this to Chop last night, and Chop seemed intrigued by what you were saying.
So, okay, if you're a golf fan, getting tickets to the Masters, it's like the Holy Grail. I know Brian goes ahead and tries to enter to win the tickets every single year. Yeah. He's won them one time. The event has an almost staggeringly long wait list, okay? And once you're off of it, you have the option to buy tickets for life. But if you die, the only person who can acquire those tickets is a living spouse. So each year, the Masters, you've got the lottery for daily tickets. The number of tickets available is not a lot. Winning the lottery does not seem very possible for most. So now there's the secondary market, where tickets for the 2025 final round went for as much as $8,000. Now it appears that it's going to be even harder to get. Front Office Sports reported that it was a bloodbath. A hospitality company was talking to them about this. Masters officials are now cracking down on scalpers. They don't want Masters tickets to be sold on the secondary
market. Right, can't do that.
They want to have control over all of this. So they're going as far as now, they're like scanning obituaries. And if you have somebody that was a lifetime badge holder that's been selling their passes, those passes get revoked. So if somebody passes away, those tickets are now getting canceled. They're like, no more. You're done here. So more or less, if you are not like the luckiest human being and you win the raffle, or you're not just rich as hell, you're not going to get into the Masters.
So we had dead people selling tickets.
Yeah.
What is this, the 2020 election?
It's all right. It's like the Social Security, right?
And it's smart because they're probably making a killing on it, the family.
They are. So
no pun intended.
I went in 2019, but I got my tickets. So a buddy of mine is a caddy on tour.
Okay.
And he was like, here, I get like 10 tickets. He gets like 10 tickets through his player. And he was like, here, you guys go. But he said, if you sell these, they will ban you. And he'll get in trouble, and his player will get in trouble. So, like, it is so difficult to sell these things. You're not supposed to. They will throw you out. They don't care. They don't care what you've paid for them. They will throw you out.
Yeah.
And they will ban you for life.
And I guess that's what they were doing this year at the Masters
just
when
they
found out. It's unbelievable. So if you had dreams of going to the Masters, good luck. It might not ever happen for you. All right, let's get into the 7 o'clock hour. How about your Texas Rangers last night as we are here? Stop number 2 of the 2025 Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour out in Anna here at 305 South Powell Parkway. We got Whataburger breakfast. We got Firehouse Tour hats. They're going very, very quickly. So if you're in the area, or even if you're not, make the drive. Come on out and hang with us. We've got a lot to get into. Of course, Nick Harris is going to join us for the Expressway coming up at 720. We'll talk all things Amari Cooper. We'll talk draft. We'll get into chopping it up. That's actually at 740, guys. Yes. That's not the segment we just did right there. But let's get into Rangers A's. Jordan Hudson's freaking out. And we got an early edition of the Top 25. That's next. Sean and RJ here in Anna.